Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. If you'd like to call into the show, the phone number is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Well, of course, the big news in the media these past few weeks, almost nonstop on some outlets, has been the Trump impeachment mania. We lived through some 3 years of the Russia collusion, which in the end was absolutely nothing, but which in reality was a shocking attempted coup to remove a duly elected sitting U.S. president. As most of you know by now, most of the mainstream media are controlled by the Democrats and therefore the political left, because that's what the Democratic Party is today, by and large. At the top, these people in the media are fabulously wealthy. Having grown up being thoroughly brainwashed with its ideology, they are ardent supporters of the left in America and worldwide. They've been steering the country towards socialism for many years now and are deeply committed to the removal of the upstart Donald Trump, who opposes their plans and goals for America. Now, it's not really fun for me to talk about this stuff. It may seem very serious to people, but I think it's important to reiterate what I have mentioned in earlier programs, that there are three fundamental characteristics about the most dedicated leftists. One is a self-righteous hatred, sometimes seething self-righteous hate, disguised as righteous indignation at supposed great injustice. Another characteristic is fraud, that is deception. You see, under communism and its ideological sisters, the ends justify the means. So any trick, any lie is okay. A third characteristic is hypocrisy. These rich people who want to impose socialism on America fully expect to keep their riches, but they're going to take your money and redistribute it to the poor. But with that in mind, it's not surprising that these people and their puppet staffs in the media are almost entirely working in unison to turn the American public against Trump and destroy what he's accomplished thus far. So, since the Russia collusion hoax failed to remove Trump, we now have what has been called Russia collusion 2.0. Supposed high crimes and misdemeanors involved with Trump asking the president of Ukraine to look into Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden and efforts to further the Russia collusion hoax in order to drive Trump from office. From what I've seen, Trump has done nothing illegal or wrong, since he and those who support him are determined to investigate and find out who and what involved in this coup attempt. This could result in criminal prosecutions, which surely must have many of these people rather scared, and they should be. These are things to keep in mind as those of us who follow news programs and websites are bombarded daily with the current impeachment hysteria. Another important thing to remember is, up to this point anyway, there is no real impeachment going forward. The whole thing is meant to make the American people believe Democrats in Congress are conducting formal impeachment proceedings. Let's listen to some news program broadcasts recently from mainstream, that is, pro-Democrat media outlets. First, let's hear Lion Brian Williams of MSNBC, September 26, discussing the situation with former CIA Chief of Staff Jeremy Bush, Susan Page of USA Today, and Matt Zapatosky of The Washington Post. Play soundbite one, please.
Jeremy, given your background in this line of work, I'd like to begin with you. For our viewers who couldn't see today's live coverage, who have only seen snippets of it, sum up what we witnessed today and sum up for us, if you can, the gravity of what we learned today on live television.
Well, the significance of today really was the putting forth of the whistleblower complaint. The acting director of National Intelligence, Admiral McGuire, appeared before the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, and his testimony really centered around the process by which that complaint was shared with the White House, the Justice Department, and then ultimately, after some machinations inside the executive branch, belatedly shared with Congress. But that wasn't the real headline, Brian. The real headline were the allegations laid out in meticulous, polished detail by an Intelligence Committee whistleblower, outlining a months-long effort by the President of the United States to engage in a secret, parallel effort to pressurize President Zelensky of Ukraine, using Rudy Giuliani as a go-between, ultimately culminating in that July 25th phone call, the transcript of which we saw yesterday, and the whistleblower's complaint exactly tracked that transcript. And just in terms of the significance, Brian, we've never had an impeachment allegation against a president go to the House of Representatives that is this serious. This is not the Office of Tenure Act violation under the Johnson administration. This is not the lying about sex in the Clinton administration. This is about soliciting foreign interference in a United States election. It is the most serious impeachment allegation ever against the president of the United States.
Susan Page, that is saying a lot, and it's impactful to hear that from a guy like Jeremy Bash. Combining your head and your heart to answer this, what does this feel like to you, given the number of years you have covered Washington?
You know, I never expected to cover one impeachment, which I did, and now I believe I'm going to be covering a second. And what is extraordinary about what's happened is it was only eight days ago that the Washington Post disclosed that there was a whistleblower complaint out there that had with questions raised about the president and his conversation with a foreign leader. In the space of a week and a day, we have moved from impeachment being something that the president and most people in Congress thought was now off the table to something that is a very real possibility. We now have a majority of the House, as you noted, backing some impeachment. Nancy Pelosi doesn't need to get any of the 12 remaining Democrats to back this. She has a majority of the House ready to move forward without them. And I think we have every sign that that speed that we saw in the last week and a day is going to continue, with the prospect that we could have an impeachment vote in the House before the end of the year.
That is absolutely extraordinary to say and to hear. Matt, we also are aware of the due diligence that still has to be done. As fast as this thing is now moving, again, just over the course of today, think of all the names we saw mentioned and learned about today. All of those tributaries have to be investigated. Are we talking about a future witness list before these committees that include some or perhaps all of these names? Not all these folks can claim any kind of privilege.
Well, that's hard to say, because if the House wants to move fast, you might not be able to get all of those people in front of you. And I think the investigation has to entail to some names that we don't know yet. The whistleblower in this case very explosively kind of alleged that other White House officials were concerned about a cover-up here. The whistleblower is not a direct witness, but he claims to be in touch with, I think, half a dozen White House officials who believe there might be a cover-up in addition to concerns about this call with the Ukrainian president. And I'm sure the House, in their ideal world, would love to identify these people and talk to them. They would be kind of the key people who were in on this and who could describe it. You know, you saw Joe McGuire testify today, and he's a Trump, Trump appointee that didn't want to sort of be out of step with the president, it didn't feel like to me. But these people who inside the government feel like they have concerns that President Trump is abusing his power, those would be the most compelling witnesses for the House to get in front of them to sort of push this impeachment inquiry forward.
And Matt, while I have you, explain to the folks watching who may not follow this quite as closely as you do, why the Attorney General is in such a bad place tonight.
Well, the Attorney General got involved in this whistleblower complaint because the Director of National Intelligence kind of reached out to him and said, what should we do with it? And Bill Barr's Justice Department decided that it should not be turned over to Congress. Further, Bill Barr's Justice Department treated this like a criminal referral. In addition to weighing whether this should be turned over to Congress, the Director of National Intelligence said, hey, this might be a crime. The president might have broken campaign finance laws that bar you from soliciting a thing of value, a campaign contribution from a foreign source. Barr's Justice Department, in very short order, decided they were not going to investigate that at all. They also decided that this complaint should not be handed to Congress. Those are two very controversial and perhaps questionable decisions. And the House is going to go after that, too, and see why Barr's Justice Department decided to do those things.
I'm sorry, that was Jeremy Bash. Formerly of the CIA, not Bush, not another Bush. Remember, these people are paid a lot to say what is expected of them, but you sure get a sense of urgency here and great wrongdoing. Okay, now here's NBC News again on September 26th with Pete Williams on the so-called whistleblowers campaign about Trump's call to the Ukrainian president, which was used to set off the current pro-impeachment hysteria. Play soundbite two, please.
Got breaking news as we come on the air in the impeachment inquiry into President Trump. Just moments ago, the House Intelligence Committee released a declassified complaint from that whistleblower against President Trump. It comes just as Acting Director of National Intelligence Joseph McGuire is about to testify on Capitol Hill about these matters. NBC Justice correspondent Pete Williams is pouring through what's in that complaint. I have a copy of it here, Pete. I've only had a couple of seconds to look at it. What do you see?
So first of all, it's dated August 12th. That's when the complaint was originally made to the Inspector General and originally intended to go to Congress. And as you know, it was stopped. We know the basics of it. He's complaining about the nature of the president's call with the president of Ukraine. He says he doesn't know who initiated the call. We now know, as we were told yesterday for sure, that this person, whether it's a man or a woman in the intelligence community, didn't know this firsthand, but was told this by what's described in the letter as multiple White House officials with direct knowledge of the call. And then the letter goes through what we now know was in the call, the asking for help in looking into the CrowdStrike issue and the Biden family. And in the way the letter describes it, it says the president used the call, the remainder of the call after congratulating President Zelensky, to advance his personal interests. He sought to pressure the Ukrainian leader to take actions to help the president's 2020 reelection bid. The letter says that this person was told by the White House that there was a discussion going on after the call by White House officials about how to treat it once it was made, because of the likelihood in the officials' retelling that they had witnessed the president abuse his office for personal gain. The letter says there were at least a dozen White House officials who had listened to the call because everybody thought it was going to be routine and that they were very surprised by the turn the call took. And then the letter says, in the days after the call, this person claims to have heard from multiple U.S. officials that senior people at the White House intervened to lock down, is the phrase the letter uses, all records of the call, especially the official transcript, the word-for-word transcript that was produced by the White House Situation Room. Now, that's the document that we got yesterday, even though it wasn't a word-for-word transcript. White House officials told me, the letter says, that they were directed by White House lawyers to remove the electronic transcript from the computer system in which such transcripts are typically stored. And then finally, the letter says, and this is page four, that after the call, two representatives of the U.S. met with Ukrainian leaders on how to, quote, navigate the demands that the president had made of the president, of President Zelensky, in the call. So this is a total of seven pages in the letter with a two-page classified appendix. Now, I will point out that the record of the call that we received yesterday was originally classified secret. No foreign, meaning it can't be shared with any foreign leaders. And I frankly don't know whether that's the typical way that a congratulatory call like this would be classified, whether it would be classified at the secret level or not. The only thing that strikes me that would possibly be classified in that letter is the discussion between the very brief discussion by the president and the president of Ukraine about wanting to buy additional anti-tank systems from the Pentagon. So these are the, I mean, we knew the basics of what this complaint was. We now have confirmation of what the original complaint was. The fact that this person in the intelligence community didn't know about this firsthand, but was relaying what he or she was told by several people at the White House, Savannah.
Now, here's a clip from CBS Sunday Morning with a very deferential interview with Hillary Clinton. Play soundbite three, please.
Being your candidate has been one of the greatest honors of my life.
No surprise, 3 years after the historic election of 2016, she's still grappling with defeat.
How are you doing now, and what are the metrics by which you know how you're doing on any given day?
Personally, I'm doing well, and having my grandchildren, and especially a new two-month-old grandson, has been a gift beyond measure. I feel very blessed. I feel good. But I can't deny that a big part of me cares deeply about what's happening in the country, and what I fear is the damage that's being done to our future, the damage being done to our values, our institutions, and try to think of ways that I can help those who are on the front lines of the fight.
Your name doesn't come up much on any campaign except for Donald Trump's. Lock her up is still a big popular line.
I believe he knows he's an illegitimate president. He knows. He knows that there were a bunch of different reasons why the election turned out the way it did. And I take responsibility for those parts of it that I should. But, Jane, it was like applying for a job and getting 66 million letters of recommendation and losing to a corrupt human tornado. And so I know that he knows that this wasn't on the level. I don't know that we'll ever know everything that happened, but clearly we know a lot and are learning more every day, and history will probably sort it all out. So, of course, he's obsessed with me. And I believe that it's a guilty conscience in so much as he has a conscience.
Of course, given the events of the past week, now the question is, how will it end?
The president must be held accountable. No one is above the law.
This is familiar territory for her.
The House Judiciary Committee voted to recommend that the House impeach President Nixon.
In 1974, Hillary Rodham was a young lawyer on the House Judiciary Committee staff looking into the impeachment of Richard Nixon. And of course, in 1998, as Hillary Rodham Clinton,
you lived through an impeachment as First Lady in the Clinton administration. What is your view today on Donald Trump's prospects for impeachment?
Given this latest revelation, which is such a blatant effort to use his presidential position to advance his personal and political interests, there should be an impeachment inquiry opened. And I don't care who you're for in the Democratic primary or whether you're a Republican. When the president of the United States, who has taken an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, and by that, defend the American people and their interests, uses his position to, in effect, extort a foreign government for his own political purposes, I think that is very much what the founders worried about in high crimes and misdemeanors.
Well, what could happen if in another 4 years of the Trump administration?
I don't accept that. I don't believe that will happen. I believe that there were many funny things that happened in my election that will not happen again. And I'm hoping that both the public and the press understand the way that Trump plays this game.
Okay, enough from the left for now. Let's get some analysis on the political right. Here's Rush Limbaugh discussing impeachment on his radio program September 27. Play soundbite four, please.
There really is no whistleblower. This is just a leaker who followed procedures that have been established to give whistleblowers protection. The whole thing is a sham. It's nothing more than the Steele dossier 2.0, as I have been saying all week. There are a couple of people now have come to this conclusion. It's the same people. It's the same scam. It's the same objective. And I'm going to add a name to potential Democrat presidential nominees coming up soon. Bottom line, there isn't anything really new here. This is just the next phase of Get Trump. This is the next phase of the operation to overturn the election results of 2016. It's the same players. It's the same technique. It's the same play. The whistleblower report, it was probably prepared with the assistance of House Intelligence Committee staffers. Nothing about this is genuine. There's no real whistleblower who's terribly alarmed and upset over what Trump said on a phone call. The whistleblower didn't even hear it. It's just the next phase. It's the same play run to the different side of the line. Let's put it that way. And the whistleblower report is the Steele dossier all over again. Some people think that it is the same technique, Christine Blasey Ford. But she was. That whole thing was an extension of the original play. What is this really all about? What is this really, really all about? It's all about overturning the election results of 2016. Why is that so important? It goes beyond just the fact that the deep state lost. I think what it's about is what I have long thought it's about. It's about making sure the American people do not learn the extent of the corruption in the Obama administration and the Democrat Party at large, and particularly among these people in the deep state who did what they did to deny Trump his election victory. And that's why Pelosi's out there today saying that Bill Barr has gone rogue. If you need any evidence that they are scared to death of what Barr and his team are investigating as to the origins of all of this, Pelosi out of the blue saying that Barr has gone rogue. They are doing everything they can to destroy everybody on the other side of this. There's nothing that's true. What really is hard about this is that we're dealing with nothing but a series of abject lies. Everybody on the left is lying. Every allegation about this is a lie. Trump hasn't broken any laws. Trump has not engaged in any corruption. In fact, Trump is the most investigated president in the history of the country, and they still haven't found a crime. They're still looking for a crime. They haven't found a crime, so they're making things up. The media is not media. It's just Democrats who work in the media, and the whole group of them is aligned. And what we are in the middle of now, folks, is a cold civil war. It has begun. It is a cold civil war as opposed to hot. There's no hostilities declared. There's no two clear sides of this, and certainly no shots have been fired. But nevertheless, we're in the midst of a cold civil war. And it has taken it encompasses a lot of things. It encompasses overturning the election results of 2016. It is about protecting and defending the deep state, the Washington establishment, going forward, their careers, their fortunes, their corruption. There are terribly big stakes involved here for these people. And Trump is on the cusp of overturning it and exposing it. They cannot allow that to happen.
The name Rush Limbaugh was about to mention in that audio clip and did mention later on in his Hillary Clinton, who Limbaugh says still wants to be president and would like to jump in and get the Democratic presidential nomination after Trump is removed from office. Here's more commentary on the impeachment mania from Fox's Sean Hannity on his program September 27. Play soundbite 5, please.
Hi, welcome to Hannity. Tonight, the Democratic Party way out of control. They've declared war on a president of the United States. And of course, driven by a blind, unyielding, psychotic rage for President Trump, and Democrats and their collaborators in the mob, they will do anything to smear, slander, besmirch President Trump and anybody that likes the president. That means they're really attacking you, we, the American people. So make no mistake, all these holier-than-thou, well, dirtbags, to be very obvious here, they have wanted President Trump impeached pretty much the very moment he was sworn in. And, of course, they just haven't been able to come up with any reason because he didn't do anything wrong. Russia, 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 impeach, 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 collusion, collusion, Stormy, Stormy. Okay, there were no high crimes, bribery, misdemeanors, no conspiracy, no obstruction of justice, no cover-up at all. And tonight, nothing has changed. Ukrainian story, you know what? The only person that was there shaking down Ukraine for anything was sleepy, creepy, crazy Joe 30330. Coming up, the president's attorneys, Jay Sekulow, Rudy Giuliani, they will be here to weigh in on all of this. We have a studio audience panel of experts. But first, let's be clear and very clear about one thing. Donald Trump is not going to be removed from office. Remember what Congressman Al Green said? He goes, yeah, this was back in May. We're going to have to impeach him because he can't win at the ballot box. So all of the hysteria, I know it's got a lot of people upset over impeachment, impeachment, in the end will be much to do about nothing. But unfortunately, Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, the Jerry Nadlers, the cowardly Schiffs, the Maxine Waters of the world, they don't care what happens to the country in the process. What have they done to make this a safer, more secure country, create jobs, more prosperity for you, we, the American people? This is beyond a political stunt. This is a psychosis. They can't escape from the reality they lost in 2016. And thankfully, if they keep this up, they will lose badly in 2020. This is from a party that does not care about truth. I mean, there's no objective truth in their world. Facts, justice, fairness, none of that matters. Their only concern is like a bloodlust for President Trump, anybody that supports the president. President, well, we can't say it any better than he has. This, they have declared war. They did it. Somebody declares war. There's only one answer. Defeat them in the at the ballot box. Take a look.
We're in a war. These people are sick. They're sick. And nobody's calling it out like I do.
All right, tonight, a perfect example of this madness and sickness. California Congressman, yeah, the cowardly Schiff. President Trump calls him Little Adam Schiff and pencil neck Schiff. But his colleagues refer to him as, and we refer to him as, the biggest liar in the U.S. House of Representatives. Case in point. Yesterday, he performed what was a dramatic reading of the phone call transcript between the president and the Ukrainian president, his counterpart, Zelensky. And the only problem is, Schiff made it up, every single word he made up. And in other words, an official House hearing featuring an acting director of national intelligence. And there's Congressman Schiff, who's lied, been proven a lie over and over again, concocting his own version of the call, but out of thin air. We have the transcript. He didn't have to make it up. He could have read the actual transcript and, by the way, entered that into the official record. And after getting called out for lying, well, Schiff, he referred his fake version of the phone call a parody. Oh, that's what that is in Congress. Yeah, maybe he's right. Now, President Trump is now calling for him to resign. He tweeted out, quote, Adam Schiff totally made up my conversation with the Ukrainian president and read it to Congress and millions. He must resign. He must be investigated. And he's been doing this now for over 2 years. He's a pretty sick man. And as per usual, Schiff has no regrets for trying to purposely mislead the American public. He could have read it the way it was written down, the way the transcript happened. No, he needed to embellish it because there's nothing in the real transcript. Take a look.
Do you regret what you call the parody, the use of those phrases during the course of your opening statement?
No, I think everyone understood, and my GOP colleagues may feign otherwise, that I was mocking the president's conduct. But make no mistake about this. What the president did is of the utmost gravity and the utmost seriousness because it involves such a fundamental betrayal of his oath.
All right. This is not the first time Schiff caught in a lie before the Mueller report was even released. Remember, he claimed that he had direct evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. Lie. He told that lie over and over again. Also claiming other evidence of colluding was hiding in plain sight. That's another lie. And of course, there is an actual recording of Schiff. Yep, he's the one guy that believed he was colluding with a Russian, and it's taped. And by the way, he's like, what is the nature of the compromise? Naked pics of the Trump, of course. Did Vladimir see this? Did Vladimir see it? Oh, but of course, Vladimir see the naked pictures. Yeah, he was trying to get dirt on Donald Trump and collude to impact American elections. And while Schiff is engaging in his fraudulent activity, well, the Democratic speaker, in name only, Pelosi, she's floating a brand new baseless conspiracy theory. According to Pelosi, this whole Ukrainian issue, Russia is behind President Trump's phone call with the Ukrainian president. Wow. You know, Earth, Pelosi, take a look.
I think Russia has a hand in this, by the way. But we saw with the Russian disruption of our election last time, their interference, 100% confidence of the intelligence community, high confidence of the intelligence community that the Russians disrupted our election. That was wrong. Mm-hmm. The integrity of our elections is central to our democracy.
It was Russia's fault, of course. Now, finally, Nancy, the Russia collusion. We had four separate investigations, a House Intel investigation, bipartisan Senate investigation, the FBI 9-month investigation, the Mueller 3-year witch hunt. No evidence of any collusion, no obstruction. Maybe someone should remind Nancy the Democrats' false, phony, feigned moral outrage. Now it's shifted to Ukraine. We're on to another talking point, Nancy. You got to keep up with your crowd. Now, tonight, we're also learning new details that cast very serious doubt on the claims of the so-called whistleblower that isn't a whistleblower. Look at this. New York Times reporter Ken Vogel saying that the country of Ukraine had no idea the U.S. aid was, yes, withheld during the Trump phone call in question. They didn't know till a month later. And keep in mind, the inspector general found that the whistleblower had political bias against Trump. And remember, he or she, who's not really a whistleblower, is represented by a law firm that pays for anti-Trump leaks. And the so-called whistleblower who has not had no direct knowledge of any phone call, that's called hearsay. Your Honor, I object. Hearsay. Sustained. That's how that would work in a court of law. Third-hand accounts publicly available in the media. Well, what good is that? That's not a whistleblower. Now we have the president and his attorney, Jay Sekulow. They are rightly claiming this person did not act alone. In fact, Jay Sekulow believes that a law firm drafted that complaint. Certainly looks like it to me. Doesn't seem like a whistleblower. But also one question today is, well, the New York Times report, former CIA, back to the CIA. Oh, do we have spies again within our own government spying on the president of the United States, abusing the powerful tools of intelligence that we give them, we entrust to them to keep us safe? Now, regardless of who wrote this complaint, its claims are bogus. There was no quid pro quo. Zip. You can read it yourself, not the made up version. No misconduct, nothing. Only person that's involved in a quid pro quo, if you want to say so, that would be, yeah, Joe 30330 and his son that had no qualifications. When it comes to Ukraine, no experience. Energy, oil, gas, no experience. He makes millions, and he made billions in China. Same thing. No background experience in private equity, banking, none whatsoever that we can find. But he goes with his father, flies on Air Force Two, and what do you know? He's got $1.5 billion in contracts. It's a great life if your dad's the vice president, I guess.
Late last week, former Ukrainian Ambassador Kurt Volker testified before the House Intelligence Committee about what he knew of Trump's dealings with the Ukraine. Here's what committee member Lee Zeldin had to say about Volker's testimony on Fox News October 4. The clip begins with excerpts from reporters interviewing Congressman Mark Meadows about Volker's testimony. Play sound bites 6, please.
He was very transparent. I don't know that there was a single question that was asked today that he didn't answer and answer fully, which is unique. And what we do know is there was definitely no quid pro quo. I mean, it came out over and over. It was asked probably 20 different times.
All right, well, the Republicans and Democrats clashing over yesterday's closed-door interview with former U.S. envoy to Ukraine, Kurt Volker. He handed over dozens of pages of text messages showing him and other diplomats arguing over whether President Trump was pushing Ukraine to investigate his political rival. Join us now, Republican Congressman from New York, Lee Zeldin. He's a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, which means, Congressman, you were in that room yesterday. What was your biggest takeaway?
Well, first, I didn't know Ambassador Volker before yesterday. I knew who he was, but I had not met him before. He came across as candid, a genuine, He was very well versed on Ukraine and years and really decades of background here. He knew all of the players, the pronunciations of their names, even the spelling. So I thought he was a great witness. He answered all questions from the Republicans and the Democrats. And during that, I mean, he basically put a dagger straight to the heart of Schiff's fairy tale impeachment story here with regards to the quid pro quo, as you just played from that that piece from Mark Meadows. He heard what I did as well and basically just destroyed, blew up that
How
narrative
so?
With every answer he gave.
Trump is reportedly sending a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, daring her to hold a formal impeachment vote in the House. Obviously, the president is confident he's done nothing wrong. Let's hear what Fox News contributor and former assistant U.S. attorney Andy McCarthy had to say about this on Fox News October 4th. Play soundbite 7, please.
In legal analysis, Andy McCarthy, former assistant U.S. attorney, Fox News contributor. Andy, good morning to you. We're throwing a lot at our viewers. In fact, a lot is coming at us every day and every hour. Where should we put our eyes today?
I think the best place, Bill, would be Capitol Hill, where we just heard from Catherine. That's where the action is. And when I say that, I say it because we understand that the president is going to submit this letter to the House. I think it's the right thing for him to do. The Constitution reposes the power to impeach solely in the House, not in the Speaker of the House, in the House. And it actually would benefit the House. Even though, as Speaker Pelosi says, there's nothing in the Constitution that requires that they take a vote before they do an impeachment inquiry, if they want to go into court and try to enforce any information demands, and as I've pointed out, we don't have subpoenas at the moment. What Pompeo has is basically letters from Congress asking for assistance. But if they want to go into court and try to enforce these information demands, the first thing a court's going to want to know is, has the House voted to have an impeachment inquiry? And a lot hinges on that, including how much expansion a court would give a president's claim of executive privilege and privilege over matters that are in the president's duties under Article 2. So I think she's right. They don't have to have a vote. There's nothing that requires them to have a vote. But if this is going to be real, if they really have grounds to seek the president's impeachment, they not only should have a vote because it's in their interest when they go to court to have a vote, they should be proud to have a vote. If they really think there are grounds to remove the president of the United States from power, then the House should speak as one, as an institution, and vote that way.
Yeah. How about this? Do you see a smoking gun lurking, whether obvious or not? If you were the president watching all this, what would concern you the most?
Well, I'd be most concerned about the way Americans are consuming the coverage. You know, there's a lot of reporting that's simply inaccurate about what's going on. For example, this whole idea that there is an impeachment inquiry, there's not. The idea that there are subpoenas, there aren't. The whole thing, this is all kabuki theater at this point. And I think a lot of people are, you know, consuming it as if it were true on face value. And I really think if I were the White House, what I would be worried about is breaking through that.
I'm not quite sure I'm entirely clear on what you're saying there. If you're the White House, you're concerned specifically?
Well, I'm concerned, for example, let's take one thing, the term quid pro quo, right? There's always quid pro quo when foreign countries deal with each other. The issue is not whether there was a quid pro quo. It would be bizarre if two countries were dealing with each other and it wasn't an exchange. They're always pursuing their interests. The question here is, was there a corrupt quid pro quo? That is, was the president leveraging his power over foreign affairs exclusively to get the Ukrainians basically to work on the Trump 2020 campaign? On the other hand, if what the president was actually doing was trying to leverage the Ukrainians to assist in Attorney General Barr's legitimate Justice Department investigation into the investigations that were attendant to the 2016 campaign, that's not only normal, it's entirely appropriate. But if it's pitched to the public as if, was there a quid pro quo about 2016? What the public is taking from that is that the suggestion
that there was a corrupt, improper deal. And that is brought to them in the context of being told that there's an impeachment inquiry over it and that there are subpoenas pending demanding that the executive branch turn over information that it's withholding about this corruption.
So as you can see, the left is once again attempting to smear Trump as corrupt and unfit for public office in an attempt to drive down his public support and drive him from office. I suspect the people who were involved in and orchestrating these attempts to remove Trump from office are rather worried at this point about possible criminal prosecution resulting from Attorney General Barr's investigation into the Russia collusion hoax, which was in reality, as we've said, an attempted coup. Time will tell, but it certainly would explain their furious ongoing attempts to turn the public against Trump and remove him from office. And as it turns out, of course, there were aspects of this which involved the Ukraine. In the transcript of Trump's conversation with the Ukrainian president, he mentions CrowdStrike, which is a firm which was very much involved in the Russia collusion issue, Russia collusion hoax. So we will see what comes of it all. I worry about how many people are taken in by this. As I said, though, time will tell. Well, that's it for today's show. As always, I hope you found it of interest. Look for us again in this same time slot 2 weeks from today here on the BBS Radio Network. Have a good night.